This evening we're continuing our overview of the book of Leviticus, and we find ourselves in a section of this book that was dedicated to defining those things that God considered to be unclean under the Levitical law. And so here in Leviticus chapter 13, we quickly discover that this chapter was dedicated to dealing with the disease of leprosy. As we study the Levitical laws concerning leprosy, we're going to spend some time considering the spiritual parallels between those spots of leprosy that appear on the flesh and the stain of sin that occurs in our flesh. And so let's begin our study of Leviticus 13, beginning here in verse 1, where Moses writes, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests." Here in these opening verses of Leviticus 13, Moses revealed the Lord's command concerning the Israelite that discovered a swelling, a scab, or a spot on their flesh. I know when you woke up this morning, you were thinking, boy, I hope there's a study on leprosy tonight. And prayers have been answered. Here we are, studying leprosy and these swellings and scabs and spots that might appear on the flesh of an Israelite. And they were directed, well, to go before the priests. According to God's direction here, the person who discovered an irregularity that appeared to be deeper than the skin, well, it was their responsibility of presenting themselves to a priest for further examination. Then in verse 3, Moses presented the proper steps that the priests would use in order to discover and deal with these fleshly blemishes. So here in Leviticus 13:3, it says, "The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. Then the priest shall examine him and," actually, verse 4, "but if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day. And indeed, if the sore has faded, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean." And so according to the Levitical law here, the person with a fleshly blemish would present themselves to the priest, who would then examine the swelling or the scab or the spot and then determine the proper course of action. If the priest determined that the fleshly sores were possibly contagious, more than just a scab that had flaked off, revealing new skin underneath, but it was actually a leprous sore or quite possibly contagious, that person with the sore would then enter into a 7-day quarantine. Then after the 7 days, the priest would come back and examine the sore again to determine if it was in fact leprous. And that would happen a few times. Now, as we consider this 7-day inspection, I want you to hold your place here in Leviticus 13 and turn to Acts chapter 20. Because I'd like to compare this 7-day inspection of the physical flesh that we find here in Leviticus 13 to the weekly inspection of our sinful nature, which Paul symbolically referred to as the flesh. Our sinful nature, or what Paul calls the flesh, ought to be inspected every 7 days. In Acts chapter 20, we actually find Paul on his third missionary journey. And after departing from Macedonia, Paul and his team set sail for Asia. Eventually, they arrived in Troas, where they stayed 7 days. And here in Acts 20, looking at verse 7, Luke tells us, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Here we see that the Christians there in Troas, they were coming together on the first day of the week. It was during that time that they would break bread together, enjoying each other's fellowship, but then also study the Word of God. Paul seemed to be a little long-winded as he preached all the way into the night. But without a doubt, this time that they would meet together and break bread together on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the first day of the week as they would come together and study God's Word together, this was the day that they would deal with the spiritual leprosy that every person struggles with. What are these works of the flesh? What are these blemishes of our spirit? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians 5 that the works of the flesh are obvious, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, as we read this list of fleshly sins, there should be no doubt that, well, we all struggle with some of these blemishes, if you will. We all struggle spiritually with some of these fleshly blemishes. Therefore, doesn't it make sense that we too would gather together every 7 days in order to consider those fleshly blemishes and what God's Word says about them and what we might do about them? You bet, that only makes sense. It only makes sense to come together and listen to what God's Word says about what it takes to overcome spiritual leprosy. One reason why is because when left unchecked, the small blemishes of spiritual leprosy will eventually spread into every area of our lives. Now, with this in mind, we should consider the way that the priests would handle the situation of a spreading leprosy. So look back at Leviticus 13, and we're going to begin there in verse 7 where Moses wrote, "But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body, the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and indeed if leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean, who has the sore. It has all turned white. He is clean. But when a raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the sore is turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, who has the sore. He is clean." Here we find a few examples of the way that a priest would determine if an Israelite was actually clean or unclean. The blemishes would be examined. And if it was this sort of blemish, then it was clean. If it was that sort of blemish, it was unclean. But based on these verses, we see that the determining factor was based on the possibility of transmission. Basically, if the sores were open, then there was a possibility of being contagious. So that person would be unclean. If the blemish was communicable and contagious, the Israelite would be considered unclean and then placed in quarantine. But this was not only true for the blemish, it was also true for the boils. That's right. We're not only talking about blemishes this evening, we're talking about boils. Check out Leviticus 13:18. "If the body develops a boil in the skin and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. And if, when the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin, and his hair has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore which has broken out of the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And if it should spread all over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Here in these verses, we see that boils were treated with the same level of caution as blemishes. I'm sure you're happy to know that. Now you can tuck that information away and just hold it at bay. Use it when you need it. But listen, the Israelite with a boil was considered to be unclean if the boil appeared to be contagious and communicable. Not only that, but we also see beginning there in verse 24 that burns were also treated with the same cautious concern. Here in Leviticus 13:24, it says, "Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it, and indeed if the hair of the bright spot is turned white, and it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is a leprous sore. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. If it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn." So we see here that whether it's blemishes or boils or burns, all of the flesh was examined very carefully in order to discover and determine whether or not the individual was a threat to the community. They wanted to find out if this person was contagious, whether they were able to spread the communicable disease of leprosy. And so the individual that was considered contagious would then be pronounced unclean, and the contagious person would then be quarantined and kept outside of the camp and away from the community. And that was done in order to protect everyone else from getting leprosy. Now, with this in mind, I want to hold the place here in Leviticus 13. Hold your place, Leviticus 13, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Because I want to spend some time considering the parallel between determining someone to be unclean and then placing a quarantine on them and taking them away from the community. I want to compare that to someone who is not keeping their spiritual leprosy in check and the right way to go about keeping them from infecting those in their Christian community. Because here in Matthew chapter 18, we find our Lord Jesus teaching the disciples the right way to deal with a brother who has become carnally contagious. Check out Matthew 18:15 here, because there Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." Here we see that when we sin against others in our Christian community, when our sins begin to impact the lives of the people around us, what we're actually doing, we're allowing our spiritual leprosy to infect the lives of the people around us. When we don't keep our sinful nature in check, we end up impacting and even infecting the lives of the people around us. So rather than allowing the fleshly infection of a sinning Christian to spread throughout a church, Jesus reveals here that we all have a responsibility to take care of our Christian community and to challenge those who are living in unconfessed, unrepentant sin. And he says, you, if the person has sinned against you, you go to them first of all. We tend to go to the two and three others first and just gossip about it. That's wrong. No, if someone has sinned against you, you go to them. It's a matter between you and them, period. But then if they won't hear you, if you go to them and say, look, you sinned against me, I'm hurt. You've hurt me in this way. I've been harmed. I've been impacted and even infected by your sin in this way. If they won't listen to you, then it's time to go and talk to a couple of more people to go with you back to that person. Not to go over there and gossip about them, but to take those people as accountability and to go back to the sinning Christian and say, together we're challenging you with the heart and desire to see you restored, repenting of this sin. We want to challenge you concerning this matter. If they won't listen to these two or three people, then it says go to the church. Or in other words, go to the leaders of the church. Bring it before leadership and let the leaders deal with it. But the whole idea is that there are spiritual sores on every single one of us. And if they become infected and communicable, we can end up causing infection throughout the church, spiritual infection, impacting the lives of the people around us. We have to make sure that we deal with that. Because if we don't, then it's just going to spread. And next thing you know, the whole church is just one big carnal mess. Paul challenged Titus in the same way when he declared, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. In 2 Thessalonians 3:6, Paul commanded the Christians in Thessalonica to withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. The Christian who will step out of line consistently and step out of rank and will not walk in an orderly fashion, withdraw from them. Christian, listen, when believers refuse to put their fleshly blemishes and boils and burns in check, and as a result, they become carnally contagious, the only thing that we can do to maintain our own spiritual health is to keep our distance from them. There is the approach of going to them, taking another brother if they won't listen to you, bringing it before the church. But at some point in time, we just have to say, that's it, you're in quarantine. We have to separate you from the rest of the community, or else your spiritual leprosy will impact the rest of us. Now, we must understand that Jesus and Paul aren't commanding us to go sin sniffing. How we need to grasp that. This isn't our command, our directive, our license to go from Christian to Christian and peek through the windows of their homes and try to find out what's going on with Bob or what's going on with Jan. No, that's not what we're being called to do. The fact is, we all struggle with sin. We all have those spiritual sores. That being the case, then, how careful we need to be when someone comes to us. When someone comes to us and says, hey man, you sinned against me. Hey, you impacted my life. You did this. It was a sin against me. I've been infected by this. When someone comes to us and tells us that, we need to be sensitive to that challenge. We need to make sure that our fleshly blemishes and boils and burns don't become contagious and start spreading throughout the church. We not only have a responsibility to challenge those who are infecting the church with their spiritual leprosy, we have the responsibility of keeping our own in check. And what that means is that if someone comes to you and does follow those directions of Matthew 18 and challenges you concerning a sin that you've committed, well, then you ought to receive their correction. Receive their correction and then adjust your actions. And that's one way that we keep our own carnality from becoming contagious in the church. Another way that we have to consider how we can accomplish keeping our own spiritual leprosy in check is by making sure that we're not allowing our spiritual leprosy to grow in the dark recesses of our mind. We have to check our head. Check out Leviticus 13, beginning there in verse 29. I'll show you what I'm talking about here. Here in Leviticus 13, 29, it says, if a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, then the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it a thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scaly leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest examines a scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed if the scale is not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave, and the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale, and indeed, if the scale is not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the scale is spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for the yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill, and there is black hair grown up in it, the scale has healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man or woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and indeed, if the bright spots are on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin, he is clean. Well, here we see that it was entirely possible for leprosy to begin growing under the cover of a person's hair. And these Israelite men, they would have these huge beards. And it's very possible that up underneath that beard, this leprosy could be growing. And the ladies would have all this long hair. And it was possible that up under their hair, the leprosy could be growing, hidden underneath all the hair. And there, underneath all this hair, the leprosy would grow. And then it would begin to spread to the rest of the body. And so, while there were very few reasons for a Hebrew woman to shave her head or for a Hebrew man to shave his beard, leprosy would be one reason. To examine, to find out if there were leprous sores growing underneath all that hair. Now with this in mind, hold your place in Leviticus 13 and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to consider how spiritual leprosy, much like physical leprosy, well, it can grow in the head. And maybe not so much hidden underneath the hair, but definitely in our mind. Spiritual leprosy can grow in the hidden recesses of our minds. And that's why Jesus encouraged us here in Matthew 6 to be careful about what we focus our mind's eye on. Look at Matthew 6:22, where Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore that light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now this word eye here that Jesus used is talking about the eye of the mind. He's not talking about the eyeballs that we use to see with. No, he's talking about the eye of the mind. And so there's light that is received into the eye of the mind through our eyes and through our ears, but also through our imagination. And so Jesus is telling us that when we focus our mind's eye on those things that are good, those things that are holy and spiritual, well, then our lifestyle will begin to reflect those good thoughts. The whole body will be filled with light if we keep our minds focused on what is good. Conversely, when we set our minds on those sinful thoughts, well, our life becomes infected with contagious carnality simply because we're allowing spiritual leprosy to grow in that dark, secret place of our mind. It won't be so easy to just shave your hair and find out if there's some darkness up there, some spiritual leprosy there. No, you have to learn how to bring every thought into captivity to obedience to Christ. We must learn how to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ in order to keep our carnal thoughts from infecting our entire body and then further infecting our community. While bringing every thought captive will definitely help us to overcome our sinful thoughts, I want to also suggest that the confession of sin can also help us to expose and overcome contagious carnality. Look back at Leviticus 13. We're going to look at verse 40 because I want to consider the importance of confession. Here in Leviticus 13:40, Moses writes, "As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald." You think that would just be common knowledge, but no. He says, "As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean." Mr. Clean. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on the bald head or on his bald forehead, has the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean, his sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, I just think that all guys with mustaches should just go around doing that, because mustaches are just dirty. Cover your mustache and just walk around saying, unclean, unclean. Here we see that every person who was carrying the communicable form of leprosy was required to live outside of the camp. They were considered to be unclean, and they had to go live outside of the camp. But that, not only that, we see that they were required to announce their contagious condition. They had to announce it. They had to tell everyone they came into contact with that they were unclean, for good reason. See, they were carrying a contagious disease, and so their confession was a way of keeping others from being infected. And so they would say, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. I'm contagious. Now, this reminds me of James in James 5:16, when he said, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Without a doubt, we all have spiritual leprosy in our heads. We all have those wicked, sinful thoughts that just pop up seemingly from out of nowhere. And one way that we deal with that is by taking every thought captive. But another way that we can do this is by confessing. Unclean. I don't believe that James is telling us to walk around the church saying, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. He's not saying, go tell everyone in the church all of your sins. We just don't have enough time for that. No, but I do believe that James is pointing us to those small group accountability style meetings where we meet someone who we can trust, a Christian that's more mature, someone who's going to guard your secrets, someone who's going to care for you and pray for you. Someone that we can say, hey man, I'm really struggling with this thing. We need to find other believers who we can trust so that we can go to them and say, I've got these thoughts, I've got these desires, I just need to talk to somebody and tell them, confess these things and pray with somebody about them. And then as we confess our sins and start praying together, we find a whole new different kind of strength. And if you've never found an accountability partner, someone that you can relate with and confess your sins to, you don't have any idea about the strength that I'm talking about. So it's easy to glaze over this and miss what I'm saying, but I just want to encourage you that when you can find that Christian that you can trust and you can confess your sins to and pray together over those things, there is just a whole new sort of strength over that sin that you didn't have when you kept it all to yourself. Light gets exposed on that sin, and strength comes from God, and He helps us to be healed from those spiritual blemishes. Then as God helps us to overcome these desires of our sinful flesh, we also begin to rid ourselves of those sinful possessions that aren't pleasing to the Lord either. Check out Leviticus 13:47. I'll show you what I'm talking about. It says also if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or woof of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment in the leather, whether in the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days, and he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, in the leather or in anything made of leather, the plague is an act of leprosy. It is unclean. And so here we see that the clothing of a leprous person would be examined. And if the plague was found in the warp or in the woof of the garment, or in other words, what that's saying is in the threads that run lengthwise and in the thread that runs width, across the width. So if the plague is found in those threads of the garment or in any leather garment, the priest would declare the garment to be unclean. Check out verse 52 where we find the proper protocol for dealing with these unclean garments. It says that he shall therefore burn the garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or in linen, or anything of leather, for it is an act of leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague is not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and he shall isolate it in another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed, and indeed if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague is not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague is faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp or out of the woof or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a spreading plague. You shall burn with fire that in which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either warp or woof or whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Well, here in these verses, we see that the disease of leprosy was a plague that could be seen in the garments of the infected individual. And so in order for a person to properly deal with the disease, they had to not only examine their flesh, but they also had to examine their clothing in order to determine which garments needed to be burned. With this in mind, I would suggest that every Christian ought to prayerfully consider the clothing they're wearing too. And the reason why is due to the fact that some of the fashions of this world, well, they only promote the contagious carnality that spreads infection in the church. This is why Paul encouraged the women in 1 Timothy 2 to adorn themselves in modest apparel with decency and moderation. And I would suggest furthermore that both men and women ought to wear clothing which is proper for people professing godliness. Now, I'm not here to tell you how tight is too tight or how short is too short, or I'm not here to tell you whether you can wear printed T-shirts, or I'm not here to give you a list of rules and regulations of how you ought to dress as Christians. We're not going to break out a ruler and put it at the door and make sure your hemline is short enough and your bust line is tall enough. We're not going to implement those kinds of rules here at this church, because I believe that every Christian should have the Holy Spirit in their lives directing them as to what is right and what is wrong. But I would suggest that both men and women ought to wear clothing which is proper for people professing godliness. I would suggest this to you. If you're looking at your garments and considering, does this have spiritual leprosy in it or not? I would say a pretty good test to conduct as you're looking at your wardrobe is to ask, will this present the person I am inside? Will this garment properly present the person I'm becoming inside? Because I would suggest that the outward appearance of our apparel ought to reflect the work that God is doing in our hearts. What we wear on the outside ought to reflect what's happening on the inside. And so with this in mind, I just encourage you, examine your own wardrobe. As you look at your wardrobe, consider, do my clothes reflect what God is doing in my heart? And if you find anything that is spiritually leprous, burn it. Get rid of it. You don't need it. Ultimately, we just must understand that our fallen nature, which leads us to live according to the lust of the flesh, it's nothing more than spiritual leprosy. And if left unchecked, we will tend to commit those acts of contagious carnality that end up infecting us and the people around us. Therefore, I would suggest that we spend time examining our hearts and our minds according to the Word of God. And when we find those sinful spots, those carnal blemishes, we ought to confess our sins. As we read God's Word and we see, oh, wow, that's a sin, I do that. I didn't realize. Or when we see those things that we know we shouldn't be doing, and God's Word reminds us that we shouldn't be doing those things, we should confess those sins. We should bring every thought captive and by the power of God, overcome the lust of our sinful flesh. Let's pray.